you would open your Bible to Psalms chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I should declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. That's the text this evening. O my God, yea, thy law is within mine heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O God, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. They say unto me, Aha, aha. Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my delivering, my deliverer. Take no tarrying, O my God. There in verse 8, where it says, I delight to do thy will. The last time we met, we looked at God's everlasting covenant of grace, where he had chose a people and gave them the Christ before the world began. And tonight we'll be looking at God's will. We know here in the Psalms it has, first of all, a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because Paul quoted this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, where he said, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And why did he come? There's a lot of reasons that he came. He came to do thy will, O God. That was his objective, was to do and fulfill the Father's will. And when he said sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither had play. He didn't have pleasure in those things. Those were just pictures and types that never took away sin, which are offered by the law. Then said he, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He had to fulfill God's will for his people, perfectly obedient unto the law. That's what he did. And he did it for us and worked out for us a perfect righteousness. Wherefore, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Remember in the garden, he said, Not my will, but thine be done. But these words can also have reference. These were the words of David. David, I delight to do thy will. For a believer, it is our desire. It is our desire to do His will. We know we still struggle with sin, but it is our desire and our ambition to do His will. It is our joy and our delight. It's His will. It's His will. Thy will be done in earth. You remember as the model prayer, that He gave to us, the sinner's prayer, that lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one, that Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He works everything after the counsel of His own will. Men want to talk about their wills. Let's talk about God's will. Everything works after the counsel of His own will. We delight to fulfill His will of purpose, to satisfy His will of pleasure, and to obey His will of precept. Those three things. His precept, His pleasure, and His purpose. Those are the three things we're going to look at, and then we'll ask two questions. God's will is revealed in His precepts. What is His precepts? They are His commands. They are His laws. What is God's will for man's life? What is God's command? Well, He reveals His command, that His commands are a revelation of His will. His precepts, His pleasures, His precepts, that which He commands all His creatures. As a wise and loving father demands obedience from his children. That's His precepts. He commands His creatures, and they are responsible to obey His will. His pleasure. This is that which God delights in and what He approves. As He said, He took no pleasure in those offerings. Those were animal sacrifices. Now, we know they were pictures, but they never took away one sin. What was pleasure to Him was when Christ died. And Christ fulfilled the law. Because He only finds pleasure in us because of what Christ has done. It is through Him. That's the reason. That's the pleasure of His will. As I thought about this, I thought about that woman who brought the alabaster box and poured it out on our Lord's head. And He said, "You leave her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me." You know what He's saying? He called what she did a good work. You know what? He took pleasure in what she did. And the only reason she did what she did is God enabled her to do it, but she still did it. It was her delight to do what she did. She was not forced. She did it willingly because He made her willing. And He said, "She hath wrought a good work on me." And He took pleasure in it. Then His purpose. That which He accomplishes. And He's determined to accomplish. You know, the one verse that comes to my mind, everybody quotes, "It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. None of His elect will perish." It is not His will that they perish. And if it's not His will that they perish, they will not perish. Because it's His will. If He willed all men to be saved and some are not saved, well, then His will means nothing. It's His will. His will. These three things, the precept, His pleasure, and the purpose, never contradict each other. They are always in perfect harmony. His precept, what He commands, what He takes pleasure in, and then His purpose all work together. They don't work against each other. They work together. They work together. His precept. When someone expresses His will with people under authority, here's what we are doing. Here's the law. Like when we used to run at the business, we'd say, "You can't work in the shop without safety glasses. You don't work in the shop without safety glasses or without ear protection." And I would tell the guys, "Now that's the precept. That's the command. You know it. There's signs up. And if you ever get something in your eye, the first thing the insurance company is going to ask, did you have on your eye protection? Did you have on your ear protection? Because, see, that was the command. What was the precept? What was required? It's my will as the leader of that company to tell these people for their safety, this is what you're to do. God says, this is my precept. Do this and live. Here's the conclusion, Ecclesiastes 12:13, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What is God's will? For him to keep God's commandments, which Adam broke in the garden. For this is the whole duty of man. That's man's responsibility. So God reveals His will through His precepts. And through His precepts, God also reveals that He's sovereign. Like when He told Adam, Adam, you can partake of any tree in the garden except one. Don't you touch it. Don't you eat of it. For in the day you do, you're going to surely die. Adam, that's me saying to you, you're not God. I'm God. And Adam says, I'm going to do my own will. And disobeyed God. His precept. Well, you know, it wasn't until the book of Exodus, till God gave what we call the moral and the ceremonial law. How did they live all those years? They lived under the law of God, written in man's hearts, written upon man's conscience. We know that from His Word, if you want to turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which had not the law, they didn't even have the ceremonial law or the moral law, He gave it to Israel. And left everyone else in the dark, which have not the law, but they do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts, their conscience and their thoughts, while accusing or else excusing one another. Either their conscience accuses them, and Kurt says that is wrong, or it excuses them, and they say, well, it's okay. That's God's precept. How did He give them how did they know what God's will was? He wrote it on their conscience. And that's why all men are without excuse. They can't say, I didn't know what God's will was. Oh, yes, they do. There's something that's God, something God put in us, in our conscience, a conscious knowledge of what? Good and evil. You imagine when Adam and Eve partook of what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not only knows good, but He knows evil. How am I to undo the evil? How can that be? God must show it to them in the garden when He took and shed the lamb, shed the blood, took the coats and made skins. That's what God required. And man knows that there's an emptiness, a void inside that he can't fill, and he knows he's guilty. Now, he may go on sinning and God leave him to himself, and God may sear his conscience with a hot iron, and God leave him alone and he become a reprobate, and then his conscience never bothers him. But till then, he knows it's wrong. He knows what God's will is. He just don't like it. We want to do our own will, and you see it manifested in religion because all men want to talk about is what? Their wills. Right? This is their will. They say, and God's will must bow to their will. They don't know anything about God's will.
They don't know the God who rules.
In judgment, God will judge every man by what has been revealed to him. He said, he told those self-righteous religious Pharisees and scribes, he said, it's going to be more tolerable for those people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah and under the curse of God, it's going to be more tolerable than for you. You had the law. You had the truth. You wouldn't allow men to, you wouldn't enter in, and you wanted to prevent men from entering in. They're held accountable. That's God's will. God's moral requirements are revealed to all men by the light of nature. The heavens declare His glory. For the invisible things of Him, Romans 1:20, the invisible things of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's how God reveals His will. So God revealed His will in creation. Then He revealed His will upon Mount Sinai, in what we call and refer to as the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before Me. Worship the Lord thy God in Him only. Thou shalt have not make any graven images unto Me. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The first table of the law has to do with our relationship with God. Well, what about the other table of all? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. That has to do with your relationship to man. What is God's will? Have no other God before Me. What did Adam do? He wanted to be his own God. You say those things still in effect? Yes. When he's writing to believers in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Is it the Lord's will for children to obey their parents? Well, sure it is. How do you know that? That's what His law says. Honor your father and your mother. How long does that exist? Forever. Even after they're gone, you should honor their name. Your father, which is the first commandment with promise. That's His precept. And we see men, they have no regard for God's will. They just, well, I could just talk to their parents anyway. Don't honor them. Don't obey them. Don't respect them. And they don't respect the parent because they don't respect God. And if they don't respect God, they don't respect the parent, the society, or anything. That's the reason. God's moral law reveals what God requires of all men in their relationship to one another. In Christ, we know we're free from the law and its curse. But these requirements are never altered. We know that God has fulfilled the law, but Danny, I'm still responsible. I'm still responsible for my mother and my father who's been gone for several years. And my children have a responsibility to obey me and obey their parents. So that's the moral law. It's never altered, never changed. We know that's what God's will is. No question about it. The Scripture says, we delight to do thy will. We delight in it. His commandments are not grievous. They're for our good and His glory. That's why Israel couldn't see. The first thing they broke, He said, if you broke them one, you broke them all. First thing they did, He did when He come down off the commandment, Moses with the Ten Commandments in His arms, carrying them, and they're down there worshiping a golden calf. Didn't even keep the first one. Is that the Lord's will? Them worshiping that calf? I don't think so. And God showed His displeasure of it. And what did Moses do? He threw down the law. You know what? Because they had broken it. And the only place the law can be kept is in Christ. It's in that ark. The only place. Then we have the ceremonial law. Given to the nation of Israel, God revealed His will concerning the worship of God. Where did that begin? When they were in Egypt. You remember Moses said, "Let my people go that we can go worship." Well, how are they going to worship? What was the last plague? The sacrifice of the Passover. Without the lamb, you can't worship. Without atonement, you can't worship. Till Christ, our Passover's come. And He fulfilled the law and took all of our sins and He nailed it to the cross. But that's how God taught them. He taught them. He said, don't you forget this. Their high day was what? The day of atonement. The Passover. The sacrifice of the lamb. What was God's will concerning the lamb? Well, it's got to be a male of the first year. It's got to be perfect and without blemish. You don't get one that's legs half broke off. That's one that you wouldn't even eat yourself and you want to offer that to God. That's not God's will. He's saying the best. You keep it up and watch it for several days. Then you sacrifice it. Because that's what God requires. If it's not perfect, God won't accept it. So He reveals His law, His precepts in the moral law and in the ceremonial law. Since Christ has come and fulfilled all the requirements and all the types of the moral and ceremonial law, the revealed will of God to all men is seen in the gospel of Christ. And this is His commandment. What is God's commandment? That you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave you commandment. What is His will? That you bow to His Son. That's His precept. That's how He reveals His will. We look to Christ alone for our righteousness and sanctification. And this is what God requires. And this is what God commands of all men. Christ is sitting on the throne. Now bow down. Bow down. Every believer says, I delight to do Thy will. I'm thankful God gave me the ability to trust His Son, and I delight in trusting Him. I delight in committing everything to Him into His hands. He took us out of the miry clay, and He set us on the solid rock. John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Either you're believing Him and trusting Him, or you're not. No middle ground. You believe Him, you'll have life. That's God's will. That's God's command. If you believe Him, Cheryl, you have life. If you don't believe Him, and you look to yourself, the wrath of God abides upon you. That's God's will. And that's clear, isn't it? That's plain. He made it plain. And all men are without excuse. So that's His precept. Then His will is revealed in His holy pleasure. It is the desire of every believer to obey the will of God. God's holy pleasure, it is our desire. We know we don't do it perfectly, but if I could do, people say, well, if I preached what you preached and preached that sovereignty of God, well, men would just live any way they want to. Well, if you're a believer, if you could do what your will wanted you to do, what God would enable you to do, I'm talking about your heart, because you have a new heart. He made you willing. You would serve Him without sin. You'd never have another wrong thought. You would never want revenge. You would never get mad or angry. That's what your desire would be. And that's why we delight in Him. I can't do it, but He did for me. And I believe Him. I believe Him. It's like I think a lot about my father, I guess, the older I get. And he's been gone a long time, and I used to be around him a lot when we were younger. Most of the time I knew what pleased him and didn't. I knew what he liked and what he didn't like. What pleases our God and what doesn't please him. A loving wife wants more than just to do what her husband requires. She wants to please her husband in all things. Sandy knows I like pinto beans. So this evening, you know what she did? We had some that was just needed to be warmed up. And she made a cake of cornbread. And she warmed up them pintos. You know why? She knew I liked them. She wanted to please me. And she did. That's so simple, isn't it? What does God want? What pleases Him? Listen. What are some things that please our Heavenly Father? Turn with me to Micah, that little small book, chapter 6. I'll give you a second to find it. Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams? Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of, for the fruit of my body? For the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, and to love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God. That's what pleases it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. None of us in ourselves ever pleased him. But Christ did, and now, Sandy, you're pleasing in him. Because when he sees you, he sees Christ, and he's pleased. And when you see that, and understand that by God's grace, then you delight yourself in his will. There are some things that are displeasing to our God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Talking to believers, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All those things can be found in a believer. He's writing to a believer. Those things displease him. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can. And we do. What is the opposite of all those other things? The wrath, the clamor, the evil speak. Be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know why? He that's been forgiven of much, loveth much. That's what he requires. What is God's will? I'm to be kind. There's never a reason that we can ever justify being rude or unkind to anybody. That's not his will. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. People that can't forgive don't know anything about forgiveness. You know, when our Lord has said to David, when David sinned, and it says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 27, and when the morning was past, Bathsheba mourned over her husband. David sent and fetched for her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David done displeased the Lord. You think about that. David knew that was wrong. He knew that it was not God's will for him to have another man's wife. He knew that. And he did it anyway. Lord, give us grace not to dishonor him. He said, David, he said, you've given the enemy great reason to dishonor my name.
And here's what we do know. The only way we can please Him, the only way I can ever please my Father, is in Christ. I love my Father, and I don't want this ever to bring dishonor to His name, but it was just His nature. He was a hard man to satisfy and to please. And if He might have been pleased, I hope He was, but He never showed it much, and it didn't really matter. You know, you still loved Him. He's still my Father. But to please Him, to think about, he was pleased with Christ, He's pleased with me. Pleased. Listen, Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him before he had... Now listen, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now how did he please God? That's the testimony. Enoch walked with God and walked right into glory without dying. Why? He pleased God. How did he do it? By faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. So how do we please God? How are we to please God? By faith in Christ. That's God's will. See, that's what men don't understand. They think by their will that they can please God. They do. And you know what God says? It's not good enough. We think, well, if we take a test, I made 99.9. Boy, I'm so proud. Made the best score in the class. It's an F in His side. Like what Tim James said one time, the Olympics was going on. You know, they have the gold, bronze, and the silver and the bronze medal. He said, you know what the silver medal is? You know what it is? He said it's a consolation prize for losers. There's only one He took pleasure in. And we know that from His Word. Now watch. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, you could underscore this in your Bible, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible. Do men read that? Have they ever read that? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why do we diligently seek Him? He's the desire of our heart. It is our desire, our delight. We delight in His law, and we delight to do His will, which is believing on His Son, and that's what we struggle with every day. Because your flesh still thinks that it can do something. And it's never enough. But in Christ, He says, Mark, that's enough. Do you know, as we gather this evening, with our feeble attempts to try to preach God's Word and our feeble attempt to try to gather in worship, how is it acceptable? Not by our deeds. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2:5, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, if God did not accept or did not take pleasure in those sacrifices in the Old Testament, what sacrifice do we bring that God has accepted? What will God accept? Asked Abel. God accepted his offer. We bring nothing in our hands I bring, simply to the cross we cling. We bring Christ. And He accepts it. You remember that the next time you try to pray and don't know what to pray. When you come and you try to worship and your mind wanders everywhere else. Offer the sacrifice. You try to sing and you want to sing from your heart. You play, you want to play from your heart. You want your desire. That's your delight. How is it acceptable? By Jesus Christ. then God's will is revealed in His purpose. All things obey the secret will of God's eternal purpose. I don't know who it is that it is God's will for Him to save. We don't know that. You see what I'm saying? God has a purpose in whom He's going to save, and He's willed who will be saved, but we don't know who they are. That's why we preach the gospel to every creature. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What Moses is saying is we do not know what God has predestinated and what must come to pass. We don't know that. That's the secret things of God. But we do know this. God's secret purpose and will be done. We do know that. No one can stop His will. His arm is not short and His ear is not heavy that He cannot save. It is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and they will. Because He wills it. God has clearly revealed the fact that the Lord our God has purposed, decreed, and predestinated all things that ever come to pass and that will come to pass. You've heard me say, you want to know what God's will is? Anybody watch the news this evening? If you didn't, you see it on the internet, or you go home and pick up the newspaper. Whatever you see, that is God's will. Or it wouldn't have happened. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. And the reason is to glorify His name and His Son and to save sinners. We know that's His will. I love this verse in Acts chapter 13, verse 48. The Jews had turned their back on the gospel, didn't want to hear the gospel. And when the Gentiles heard this, when they heard the gospel, them old bunch of Gentile dogs, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It's not as that many as believed were ordained, as many were as were ordained, that's why they believed. His will or His purpose includes all things, the evil and the good. This is what boggles our minds. This is the secret will of God. We can't explain this. We try to reason it out, and this is where we get in a mess. Don't you lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just because we don't understand it, we still believe it. We bow to it. God does in time what He purposed in eternity. God's will includes the wicked actions of men. But that doesn't relieve men of their responsibility. They say, well, if it's God's will, then I'm not responsible. Hold on now. Men do exactly what they want to do. Pharaoh turned Christ over to their will. And you know what their will was? To crucify Him. And they did exactly what they willed to do, but then they did the whole time they were doing exactly what God decreed to be done. Would you explain that to me? But we know that to be so. The Scriptures were not written to confirm our reasonings, but to correct our reasonings. When you tell men that everything happens as God's will, they say, hold on now, my God wouldn't do that. My God wouldn't do that. Their God wouldn't. Their God couldn't. And I heard someone say this. I heard them within my own ears. I would not serve a God like that calls His evil. What David sinned, when David sinned, was that not evil? Yes, it was evil. It displeased God. Oh, but in the purpose of God, that child she had is going to be king. And what did it? It showed His grace. You explain that. God's not bound by what David did. And even all of it was in the decree of God, even when Adam fell. It didn't catch God off guard. David's responsible. The sword never left his house. But he said, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Now listen, we may not be able to see how God can will or determine a sin and not become the author of sin. But the fact remains that the greatest of all sins, I want you to get this, this helped me and this blessed my heart. The greatest of all, what was the greatest of all sins? It was the slaying of His darling Son, that it was predetermined before the world was ever made. Was it God's will for Him to suffer and die? Oh yeah. And He did. That's why He said, not my will, but thine be done. If it not be possible that this cup pass from me, I'll drink that cup. Because that's my Father's will. And He did. You know why you were saved? Because somebody obeyed the Father's will. Man's sin has put his will in bondage to sin. Not God's purpose. It was man's rebellion. God does not bear the blame for our ruin of sin. That's what Adam tried to do. It's your fault. It's your fault, God. That woman that you gave me. It wasn't his fault. It was man's fault. Adam sinned. He was not deceived. Adam sinned with a perfect nature. You think about that. Adam sinned with a free will. Because his will was not bound by sin. His will was not affected by sin before he sinned. And he sinned willfully. And that's why men's natures are in bondage to sin. But I can tell you this, God was not to blame for the ruin of the fall. But God gets all the credit for the recovery. He gets all the glory. Because it's of His will, it's not of your will that willeth or your will that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Then these two questions. Is it possible for a believer to miss or be out of God's will? Can I miss God's will? Without question, insofar as God's revealed will, His precept and His pleasure is concerned, a believer can disobey and be out of God's will. Ask David. I can't explain that, but he did. And he did. Yet God's purpose was accomplished. No one and no action performed by anyone is ever out of the will of God's purpose. This is beyond me. We may disobey His will. We may want to do our own thing, like David did, and the sword never leave our house. But even in that, we're still in the very middle of God's purpose, His will. It's like when you're forming clay. You've seen them make clay. There's two wheels. There's a big wheel on the bottom, which man uses his foot to spin the small wheel up here on the top. And they both work together. The wheel on the bottom and the wheel on the top work together. As the bottom wheel works faster, the top wheel runs faster. And you know where they put the clay? Right in the middle of that top wheel. That's God's will. And He fashions it, and He forms it, and He shapes it, just like He does you, according to His will. God's will is always accomplished to His purpose, even when we are disobedient to His will. That doesn't lessen our responsibility. No matter what, believers still declare, I delight to do Thy will, O God. I've seen myself make some big messes. But God never changed his purpose. Wanting to know God's will, I can't ever forget before we came here. Struggling to know God's will. Well, how am I to know God's will? That's the second question. How am I to know God's will? Can we miss it? And how am I to know God's will? I want to know. I remember sitting over on Danny Belcher's porch, and he said, Mike, they wanted me to ask you a question. Would you be their pastor? How would you like to answer that question? And, you know, then it's like all of a sudden something come over my mind. Now, you know what you've been thinking, Mike. And if you say yes, do you really know what you're doing? Is this really God's will? And I remember what I asked Danny. I said, Danny, how do you know? I guess we all have that question. How do I know? Am I doing God's will? He said, sometimes you don't know till you step out. You know, that's a pretty good answer. By faith. How you going to walk today, Enoch? By faith. You got to go preaching, huh, Mike? How you going to walk? We're going by faith. By faith. By faith in what? In his word. In his word. So he does it. He speaks to us by his word and by his spirit. I've had you all on my mind for a pretty good while. I couldn't get you off my mind. Well, why was that? I thought about it. You know, then you'd push it back. And then Cheryl or somebody would call, would you come preach? And I said, yeah. You've heard me say, I think it was the December of like 2012. We came the next October, 2013. Me and Sandy's going down the road, going down the interstate. And I've not said anything to her. Not said one word to her. Not told her what I thought in the least. And I said, Sandy, do you ever think about that church at Millside? She said, yep. She said, I think we'll be there one day. If it was God's will, he must make her willing too. Not Mike making her willing. Make her willing. And that's the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God makes you willing. And I want to do his will. I want to do his will. And I'm glad that we're here doing the Lord's will. Now I know it. Yeah, after I've been here about 8 years. But it's terrifying at times to know God's will. Let's just be honest. And then I asked another man. Back home where I was at, we had the building we met in, we'd had it paid for several years. God had been good to us. And there was a man named Linwood Campbell. He's probably 30 minutes away. He pastored a church in his home. And a lot of times when I would come here or go somewhere else, Linwood would come fill in when I was gone. So everybody in our congregation knew Linwood, and the other people in his congregation knew our congregation. Don Fortner come down once a year, and he'd go preach to their congregation for 3 nights. He'd come to preach to us the next 2 nights. So when I went to talk to Linwood, I said, Linwood, I feel like the Lord is wanting me to pastor a church in West Virginia. I said, Linwood, how do you know if it's the Lord's will? He said, I put a lot of stock in Providence. That's God working things out. Danny asking me. It's staying on my mind. Well, then I asked Linwood, well, what's going to be the will? Because I'm concerned for the will of God for those people that I'm leading. And I ought to be. I said, Linwood, I can't speak for them. But I said, I could see this working. I said, would you be willing to be their pastor if they would ask you to be their pastor? He said, yes, I would. I didn't announce in front of the whole church that I'm leaving. I said, I'm not going to do that. I called everyone, just a small congregation. I went to everybody's home. And I said, I've come to tell you something. They said, you're leaving. Everybody knew before I brought it up. And then I said, this is your all's decision. I'm not your pastor anymore. But I could see Linwood being your pastor, you know. And they said, we'll ask him. And they never missed a beat. See, they were meeting in his home. And now that group come and gathered with that group. And the building's paid for. And everybody knows Linwood. That's just my story. But you see how he worked. He worked in Providence. He worked to take care of that church. And he worked Providence for y'all for 2 years without a pastor. In Providence, I think he first met me at Don Fortner's conference. And he said, we're without a pastor. And just, see, doing the God's will is just walking every day. I never planned to meet him. He never planned to meet me. I come this close to coming one time. When I was at Fairmont, we went to that conference, and Doug asked me to come here. And there was another guy with me, if we would come, you know, on our way back home. And I said, I just can't come. He said, why can't you come? It's my daughter's 16th birthday. And we've done plans. Can you imagine how long it takes to get from Fairmont to North Carolina? And I've got to get back there Sunday evening. I am taking my daughter out for her 16th birthday. I think that is God's will. But it wasn't meant for me to come then. How can we know His will? By His word, by His spirit, and providence. I can't explain it. If you're struggling to know God's will, you'll know. Another example. How did Cheryl know when he was supposed to retire? They made the decision for him. How did that man know when he was to retire? They made the decision for him. Providence. Ain't that what it was? Providence. God sent a coronavirus. Providence. Was that God's will? Well, sure it was. Because it was for him, was for us, and it was for you, and it was for this whole church. And all God's body. That's God's will. God help us to delight and to do His will.